So sometimes I wonder, and maybe you've had this thought too, why is it that my best ideas only come at 2 a.m? If there are any insomniacs here with me, say, here I am. Lately, I've been having a particular problem in terms of my late night insomnia. And maybe you've been in this state before. It's been going on for a couple of weeks now, where everything is still and quiet, and I'm finally ready to go to sleep, and then beep, beep, beep. There's this little annoying beep, and I swear I can hear it. I swear it exists. And so I get up to find it, and as soon as I stand up and walk around, it disappears. So I go and I lie back down, and then again I hear beep, beep, beep. Where is this beep coming from? And I cannot figure it out. And if you've ever had that kind of problem before, say, here I am. Now I think Samuel is having one of those nights where he keeps hearing that annoying little beep, except that little beep is God's voice, right? He keeps hearing his name, so he gets up to go and check and see what's going on, and nothing. He goes and he talks to his mentor, Eli, and he says, did you call me? And he says, no, I didn't call you. Go lie back down. So he keeps going back to sleep. And it keeps happening over and over until he finally gets up and he realizes it was God calling him the entire time. And he finally takes the moment to listen. I believe this is the moment that we are stuck in as a country. I believe we keep hearing these annoying little beeps. These warning sounds that something ain't right. These calls from God that we need to do something, that we need to fix the injustices that keep rearing their ugly heads. But somehow, we keep convincing ourselves it's nothing, and we keep trying to go back to sleep. And I believe that is one of racism's most vicious tools. It's not just about an attitude towards people of different color. It's an entire system, an entire culture that tries to justify those attitudes or simply dismiss them as insignificant. We keep hearing the beep and we keep getting up to see what's wrong and we keep getting told to go back to sleep. It's a cycle that you've probably noticed in the news, that whenever there's a national story about racism, there's always a vocal group trying to convince you that it's nothing to worry about. It's no big deal. It was just a few words. It was just a bad apple. They like to think about God and beauty and God and joy, but I think God sometimes is a little bit nagging. Amen. God can be that nagging voice in the back of your mind that keeps you up in the middle of the night. God can be that beeping sound that's telling you something's not right, and I know I have to do something to fix it. So here on this MLK weekend, what kept the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. up in the middle of the night? I think I know one of the things that kept him up in the middle of the night. TV. Television. Some might tell you that TV just isn't that important. But MLK knew that TV was everything. The way people curate the images we consume is everything. And he was getting a little antsy, a little nervous, a little anxious about the way local news stations were covering the civil rights movement. He was also anxious about the way that people of color were not well represented on TV. So MLK called up Everett Parker. It was 1963, the same year that he wrote the letter from the Birmingham jail. And Everett Parker was the founder and head of our denomination's Office for Communications at the time. And the problem that Dr. King brought to Everett Parker was that TV stations in many parts of the country had banned any coverage of the civil rights movement, trying to erase it from existence. And even beyond that, the only time that most TV stations would put a person with melanin in their skin on TV, they were usually in handcuffs or in a suspect sketch. TV matters. The images we consume matter. They affect us and our perception of the world, and Everett Parker knew this. And so while teaching at Yale Divinity School some years earlier, before MLK reached out to him, Everett Parker had developed a way to monitor TV stations, a system for keeping track of what was going on air. And when Dr. King called him up, he knew exactly what to do. He strategically chose Jackson, Mississippi's NBC affiliate called WLBT. It was a station that supposedly had a KKK bookstore in the same building. It was a station that put up a technical difficulties bulletin whenever Thurgood Marshall appeared on the NBC news report, and continued to do so as a tactic to avoid showing any news about the civil rights movement. It was a station that did not hire a single person of color ever. It was a station that would not even sell campaign ad space to the Dr. Robert L.T. Smith, who was a local Methodist minister running for Congress. It was a station whose owner rebuked Dr. Smith for being a black man trying to get into politics by saying, "I'm going to be sorry when I see your body floating in the river tomorrow." These were the people deciding what images we all got to see. It's just TV, you might think. But it has an amazing power to transform and reform and deform our view on the world. So here's what Everett Parker did. He recruited 22 people through the local congregations, and he made sure he didn't know any of their names so that when he was asked on public record to identify them, he could not, and thus would not be putting them at risk. And these 22 people would gather in one family's house, a family who had offered their house as a place to do this work, and they would, on a rotating schedule, watch 24 hours a day, keeping track of everything that was on that TV station. They kept vigil around the clock, marking down every time they saw a person with dark skin and noting how that person was portrayed. Then, armed with this data, they sent a petition to the FCC to repeal the TV station's license, a consequence, a penalty that had never been taken against a TV station before, so the FCC dismissed it, claiming that our denomination had no standing to file a petition in the first place, and they voted to renew the station's license. The FCC told us to go back to sleep. That we had no business fixing this beeping sound. But Everett Parker knew better. Everett Parker knew that God was calling, and Everett Parker also knew that MLK was calling. So he continued the fight on. He didn't lie back down. Instead, he used our denomination to file a lawsuit against the FCC. And while that legal battle raged on, a community group was assigned to take over the station. And immediately, there was a striking difference, for the first thing that community group did when they took over that station is they aired a live speech by civil rights activist Medgar Evers, who a month later would be assassinated. It's just TV, right? 13 years, the legal battle went on until finally the Supreme Court itself revoked WLBT's license. The only time in history, the only time a TV station's license has ever been revoked in the history of our country. That was the work of our denomination. It was a landmark case that designated the airwaves as publicly owned and laid out clear rules for media companies in their hiring and in their programming. And luckily, the new owners of WLBT, NBC's affiliate in Jackson, Mississippi, took note. And they started hiring people of color, not just hiring them in token positions, but they hired Randall Pinkston, a Jackson native, a former student of Wesleyan in Middletown, just up the road from here. They hired Randall Pinkston to be the first African-American news anchor in WLBT's history. Randall Pinkston then went on to a national career on CBS with a stop in Hartford on the way and the local news station in Hartford. Pinkston in Jackson quickly became the most watched anchor on air. And what it took was 22 people sitting in a room watching TV. I think our culture is currently spellbound under a certain false impression. The false impression that evil has to be overtly sinister and good has to be superhuman. And what I think happens as a consequence of this misunderstanding is that good people waste their words dismissing or even justifying racism because it's just light racism. While plenty of the rest of us feel this weight, feel this hopeless exhaustion, assuming the task is too great for anyone to overcome or maybe not even worth the effort when in reality, God needs us to take simple steps. God just needs us to get out of bed and listen. Amen. Some of the studies that are out there in the world highlight the simplest acts have the greatest of consequence. One study said that shopping one time a week, one errand a week at a black-owned business or in a black-dominant community can have a world of impact on the economic disparity that we experience in our world. Something as simple as where you decide to get your groceries can make the world of a difference. Something as simple as which movie you go to see and who is the star and who is the director and who is the writer. These simple day-to-day experiences and choices that we make can have a world of an impact. It just took 22 people sitting in a room watching TV. But the citizens of Jackson, Mississippi, they lived in a world where black faces never appeared on their TV screens. And what's amazing about that is either no one took notice, or maybe they noticed and no one thought it was worth the trouble of saying anything. But look what happens when a church decides it's worth the effort. History is made, racism is overcome, TV licenses get revoked, people's lives are liberated. So I ask you now, if you think it's worth the trouble to say something, say, "Here I am." That nagging tiny voice in the back of your brain, keeping you up in the middle of the night, that incessant beeping noise that won't let you rest. These events keep happening over and over. Last week, a student brought a Confederate flag to a high school in Middletown. Middletown. And he ran around the campus, waving that flag, shouting racial slurs and profanity. That is God calling us out of our slumber. 2 weeks ago, the Golden Globes happened, and the Best Director category, again, only contained white men. When there were a number of movies that deserved to be in that category, directed by women and people of color. These little incidents and these big incidents keep happening over and over and over again. And some might try to argue that it's just TV, it's just a bad apple in the high school. Go back to bed. Lie back down. Don't worry about it. But I'm telling you, if you try to go back to bed, God's going to keep calling your name. Amen? And that obnoxious beeping is going to continue. Amen? And nobody's going to get any sleep. Everett Parker had the advantage of MLK calling him up personally on the phone. We don't have something that obvious in our lives. God doesn't always work in very overt ways to call us, but God, you can bet, is calling us on the phone right now. MLK has already called us. He has put brilliant words out into the world. He has lived a life by example for us. Jesus has lived a life by example for us, calling us to do the good work of reconciliation and standing up against injustice. And it is just on us to answer that call. God has already shouted our name over and over and over again as we slept in the night, and it is our turn to respond. Here I am. So friends, respond. Here I am. If you hear God calling you to overturn racism, say, here I am. If you are not ready to go back to sleep, say, here I am. If you're ready to change the world, say, here I am. Now say amen.